This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, of course, we've all confronted cyberbullies, trolls. I think that's more of a phenomenon, Sharon, and Randall and I welcome your input. More of a function of the way the online world works, where people can be mostly anonymous, and suddenly their keyboards or their touch screens tap out things they'd never say to anyone in person.
That's so true. Part of the research I did about the impact of the internet was a book by Clay Shirky called Here Comes Everybody. And I love that title because literally that's what happened. Everybody is now coming at you through the screen and anybody could see what you're saying and respond to it immediately. And it's scary to write something and wonder how it's going to be taken. And I've had situations where I know I've come off the wrong way and people have taken it very literally and skewered me for it. But then there are other times when I wrote a big, long, reasoned piece and people only hit on the parts that they wanted to pick on. So it's an incredibly difficult process to maneuver around the internet and come out clean.
Well, let's look at scientifical then. So I think we've defined pretty well, or at least got a pretty good idea of what we're talking about when it comes to the science aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So then what is scientifical? Are you talking synonymous with pseudoscience or?
There's a little bit of a difference. I mean, pseudoscience could be a different way of looking at science. It's a process and a community of pseudoscience that's just, it's outside science because it's got some problems with it. But scientifical, to me, I came up with the word as I was looking at these people who were literally pretending to be scientists. They knew that the scientific viewpoint in our culture was highly valued, that science has an authority, that people, maybe their clients for these paranormal groups, would be impressed by the group acting like they were scientists. And they did that in a number of ways. They used the jargon. They were very systematic in how they set up. They used gadgets. Sometimes they wrote reports and they put it up online. They called their information evidence and data. They used hypotheses and theories. They used big words like quantum and electronic and fields and electromagnetics and things like that. It's the iconic version of science. It's what the public, who isn't, they're not scientists, that's what they think science looks like. They think it's gadgets and technology and big words and hard to understand processes and things like that. So what these ARIGs, I call them just for short, amateur research and investigation groups, were doing was adopting that activity and pretending to be scientists. And I saw that distinctly, that they were picking up these mannerisms in order to convince their clients that they were professional, knowledgeable, serious.
So they were putting on the air of science, yeah, as opposed, yeah, to actually doing what we would recognize as genuine critical thinking or following any kind of method that would be perceived by an accredited scientist as being genuinely scientific.
They're also using it as a sales pitch, a talking,
yes,
point, a bulleted point. We're a scientific research organization. And I suppose some, like QFOS and MUFON, can be put in that category because they do have scientists, although those who've listened to the Paracast for a while know that we don't regard MUFON as an organization as opposed to individuals as scientific because they're really serving to evangelize the extraterrestrial theory, as far as I'm concerned.
And a lot of what these groups were doing was they were falling down at step one. They were saying, we're a scientific group. We use scientific methods. We are out to prove the paranormal. Right there, they've become completely unscientific because you've already got an agenda. You're already out to prove something instead of find out the answer which to me, science is about finding out the answer to a question. Pose a question, find the answer. These people already had their question answered. It's paranormal. Let's go find whatever anomaly we can find and attribute it to our pet idea. And that bothered me as a scientist who I have to be licensed. I have to have ethics training. I have to conform to certain standards. And I had gone through 6 years of schooling to get there. And for them to co-opt that to me was frankly offensive.
Let me ask you a question here, since we talk about memes in terms of research, ghosts, gotta be spirits of the dead, and UFOs or spaceships. How far did you go back in looking at this culture? Did you look at the way, for example, the UFO phenomenon has been modified over the years?
I did a little bit of that. I had to cover all the fields in the book, so I used some diverse sources from the government reports and Carl Sagan's conference on the UFOs and back to, you know, Jim Moseley's work. And so I looked at a lot of different sources to see what the field was like back then. And I had one of my commenters note that some of my sources were really old. I should have probably used newer sources, but I thought the old sources were pretty cool because they gave me an idea of what people thought of those groups way back then when they were first formed.
Now, I come out of that era. I started following UFOs when I was 11 years old. I read Donald Kehoe's book. I knew a lot of the people, as regular listeners to the Paracast know, from that field. I actually, my first paid gig, was as a full-time managing editor for Jim Moseley's Saucer News back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I go back there, and of course I always welcome the look at Jim because he was one of the first guests on the show. When we premiered in 2006, we had Jim Moseley and the late Brad Steiger as our guests at that particular point in time. Did you look at some of the crazy feuds that occurred, especially in the 50s and 60s?
Very, very tangentially, a little bit of that. Yeah, it was just, as a spectator, it's fascinating to read some of this stuff and how the groups used to interact or fight with each other. It was really entertaining storytelling, I must say.
Of course, many of us were teenagers, and teenagers will argue, I think, more than adults. Some of them were faked, like, for example, Gray Barker and
right.
Jim Moseley adopted the posture of being enemies, even though they were very close friends. So Jim Moseley favored the Earth theory, which is that all or most UFOs were test aircraft or secret weapons, whereas Gray Barker said, no, that's ET. And though when we look at it now, I tend to think Jim actually was onto something, that a fair amount of the early UFO sightings were the result of seeing secret aircraft or mm-hmm. test balloons or something.
Yeah, what I found is that people on the outside who aren't really well-versed in the history and the current status of these fields, they have no idea what's going on. They have such a simplified view of what's going on. And if you just look inside a little bit, there is so much interesting and in-depth things. It's a very, very deep rabbit hole you could go down and just spend so much time looking at all the different aspects of these fields. And I try to bring that out to people who may be my skeptical friends. This stuff is fascinating at so many levels. You really should be paying attention to this. It's amazing.
Now, when it comes to ghost hunting, I follow it and I realize an awful lot of people are interested in it. And the TV shows that focus on ghost hunting get, I guess, decent ratings, more so than UFO hunting shows, of which there are very few. But I also worry here, when I worry about ghost hunting, is it seems to be very limited. All we're looking for is spirits of the dead. Everything is framed in that context. Movies that cover ghosts frame the context of something from the other side intruding its way or accidentally being partly in the middle between the afterlife and our existence and therefore having unfinished things to do, that sort of thing. We've got more to come. Sharon Hill, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, and Gene worrying why he never got a middle name. I never had a middle name. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, because I suffer from high-level autism, they tell me, maybe that's because I never had a middle name.
Oh, cool. We should hit the casinos.
Well, they already think I do. You know, there's a couple of photos out there that talk about culture. Sharon, I don't know if you'd be interested in this. There are a bunch of cyber bullies that have been after me for a number of years, since the early days of the Paracast. lately they took photos from my son's Facebook page where we were in Las Vegas, and my son paid for the hotel. We drove there. We were in Las Vegas like 2011, and there's a funny picture of me and Grayson and one of his young friends, and both of us had our hands on Grayson's face doing a Vulcan mind probe. And another one, just a group picture with an Elvis impersonator. And on that basis, they assumed I had a gambling problem. I don't know where I started this. Anyway, I don't see as much of that in the UFO field these days, though. Not the fake fuse as much. Now, where things are happening, it's in the cyberbully or troll range.
There's a lot of competition between ghost hunting groups. They sort of beat each other up sometimes, and because of territory. There's a lot of these groups. So there may be more than one of these groups in an area. There's several in certain states. I forget. I think that I counted something like 80 in Ohio alone at the time in 2010. So they tend to bump into each other. So they have to maybe, some of them get a different gimmick than another. They come up with a different way of presenting themselves with a specialty. Some become demonologists. Some become related to pet psychics or animals, animal ghosts, things like that. So they try to differentiate themselves, but yet they all want to outdo each other in their same general area.
Like ufology, their groups, cryptids, and especially the ghost hunters, they have a very wide spectrum from what I would call the fringe people who are absolute believers in a particular religious theology, and that's what it's about, and it has to do with demons and afterlives and purgatory and so on, to people who are very level-headed. We just interviewed in the last two shows two groups out of Colorado who were very level-headed. Ufology is the same thing. We've got the tinfoil hat people who are way out there. Space brothers are coming to save us. And then we've got people who are more like myself that really value input from people like yourself, the idea of critical thinking. Let's not try to pretend we're scientists and so on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that there are some, I use the term skeptical in the term of maybe not paranormal believers, but interested in the phenomenon, skeptical groups who do these types of investigations. There's very few, but there are some. And there is definitely a range of good versus bad. I think when you're talking about the ghost sensors in particular, if you're talking about somebody who is invoking a lot of religious ideas into their investigations, or things like invoking demons as a cause, that's extremely dangerous. They could actually make things worse for a person who feels that they're being tormented by some sort of spirit.
You know, there is a movement or group of people in the UFO field who believe that UFOs are demonic.
Right.
In fact, my late uncle, by virtue of marriage, Lewis Kaplan, was part of a movement of Jews for Jesus. And the people in that movement, including a book author of a sci-fi novel, believed again that UFOs were from hell or demons, and that if you recite the Lord's Prayer, you'd get rid of them, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. I mean, there is something about UFOs leads people to religion in some aspects. In various ways. And I even think that some aspects of cryptozoology and Bigfoot belief sort of resemble religions. They have their relics and their holy people who you have to listen to everything that they say. And there's a strange crossover there. There actually are some religious scholars who are studying paranormal groups and topics and their cultures because of these patterns that they see. And they're actually, the book Paranormal America by Bader actually looks into the idea, are people leaving organized religion and going to this very democratic way of picking beliefs that you want to subscribe to in these paranormal and new age fields without all the orthodoxy and rules that are over there in Orthodox religion.
Did you go back to the ancient astronaut theories where some people ascribe events in the Bible, for example, to the interaction or the arrival or presence of spaceships?
I am very familiar with that idea. it's often bad archaeology and anthropology going on there. So there is, it is sort of a religious belief. I see things like, if you remember long ago when Melba Ketchum did a Bigfoot study, and that turned into the concept that maybe this was DNA, Bigfoot was DNA, it was related to the Nephilim, the giants of old out of the Bible. I mean, things just got so incredibly weird with regards to DNA and angels and giants and Cain and just hybrid humans and angels. It was bizarre.
Exactly. And that's sort of a mythological side of ufology. I think that we could catalog that if we were looking at ufology from an academic perspective of how we would do that. We say, well, that's just part of the mythology. It's in the history. We can look at that the same as someone, say, in religious studies group looks at various religious mythology. And we say, well, that's what those particular beliefs were about. And that particular group believes that without necessarily believing in it ourselves as ufologists. So that's where I think we could move into an academic perspective as opposed to, becoming a church of ufology type of thing, like the Raelians or whatever that happens, you know.
Ancient astronauts' idea is rooted in a long time ago in theosophy and, you know, ideas that rose in the Victorian era. So there's a lot to dig into there.
We had a fascinating episode here with Eric von Däniken, the author of Chariots of the Gods. We only got him for an hour or half the show. And David Halperin, who is a religious scholar specializing in Judaic studies. And it was interesting to watch von Däniken propose certain things from the Bible that indicate the presence of extraterrestrials, and then methodically, very quietly, very professionally, David picks apart those theories to show they have no value, that he's implying things in biblical passages that are not meant. Of course, we can argue till the cows come home about biblical passages and how they've been modified over the years and what they might signify. But it was interesting here to get von Däniken to the point where he said, well, that's just my theory.
Yeah.
Which to me was almost a confession. Well, he made it all up. He's just a former hotel keeper who spent some time in prison, which he did, and came up with this thing that made him a very rich man. Sharon A. Hill, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg. You see, I'm putting myself last. I'm not an egomaniac, except when I want to be one. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. On Monday, the full Senate begins its consideration of Brett Kavanaugh's qualifications to become the next Supreme Court justice. Many senators are waiting to hear what the FBI says about it. Agents have less than a week to gather information on the sexual misconduct allegations against him. A source says the investigation will include claims made by Kavanaugh's former Yale classmate, Deborah Ramirez. It wasn't clear if the scope would be expanded beyond those made by Christine Blasey Ford.
President Trump says he hopes this will pave the way for Kavanaugh's confirmation.
Having the FBI go out, do a thorough investigation, whether it's 3 days or 7 days, I think it's going to be less than a week. But having them do a thorough investigation, I actually think will be a blessing in disguise.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. That's 800-296-1261.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I assume, Sharon, you might have some further observations about that. The thing here is, are ancient astronauts, or just UFOs in general, signaling some kind of new religion because we're kind of disgusted with the ones we have? Certainly people have to be concerned. I'm not criticizing a religion, but some of the things that have happened in the Catholic Church, for example.
Right. I think there does tend to be this idea that people are leaving the traditional type religions because they are dissatisfied for whatever reason or another. And they're moving towards a more democratic way of expressing their spirituality and their beliefs, how they relate to the universe. It's not surprising. I mean, people are creative and people go out and seek enlightenment. And I think that some of these Eregs are actually doing that. They're seeking enlightenment. They're trying to find out some greater secrets, or they've had experiences they need to explain. But then there's just the general commercialism where a lot of this stuff is commercialized. You actually make pilgrimage to these haunted places because you want to have this experience, or you visit certain iconic locations because you want to see UFOs or have a UFO experience. You go into the woods because you want to feel like you're in the domain of Bigfoot. So people are having these very spiritual experiences on their own terms.
Right. But then when it crosses over into what you were talking about before, where people are essentially pretending to or putting on the air of science and saying, well, we're now the official scientific ghost hunting group and this is what we do. I think that that's where the danger is.
I saw a number of ghost hunting groups that invoked both saying that they were scientific, use scientific methods, and then invoke all sorts of religious paraphernalia, dowsing, charms, invoke demon protection. So they just used the spaghetti approach. They threw everything on the wall and see what sticked for the clients to be impressed with them. And again, I think that that's disingenuous. They haven't really thought out what their goals are and how to approach this in a reasonable way. They're just trying anything. Maybe they've seen it on TV. Maybe they've heard it from somebody else, or maybe they think it's just cool to give it a try. It was very interesting to see a scientific group invoke psychics and religious paraphernalia. It was just odd.
Then again, we have some where, being a geologist, you might appreciate this. We have one paranormal research group who talked about an investigation that they did. I believe it was at an inn, and the claim there was that the ground underneath was composed of a certain types of minerals and had a composition that was causing or conducive to producing these spirits. So what they did is they actually have a geologist on there that they in their group and people that they can consult with, and they ended up getting, he thought it was going to be the USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, that would come and do it, but he said it turned out to be, I think, the Department of Agriculture, something like that. But they had actual people come out and do sample soils and core testing to see what the ground was made of. They looked at the geological survey maps. They went to see if there was any truth to that claim, and it turned out that there was nothing. And his story was that they found no evidence that there of this geological formation, and yet, oh, 3 or 4 months later, they went back and found that people there were still telling the same stories about the...
Oh, does this sound familiar to me?
Yeah.
I had somebody inquire, can you help me with the geologic conditions at the Bobby Mackey location that's supposedly very heavily haunted? Could you please look into the geology of that area? So I did, and I found there was nothing unusual there, although I suppose there could be certain geological conditions that could cause problems with the foundation of a place, or there could be water leakage or something like that. And then I had a television producer contact me and say, we want you on camera to talk about the idea that there is limestone under this location, and we think that that's the cause of these potential hauntings going on. I said, before I come on camera and talk to you about this, and he didn't care whether I believed it or not. He just wanted me to talk about it. Stone tape idea. That's what it, you know, the rolls back mm-hmm. to. So I said, you got to give me some time. You got to give me the location and let me look at the geologic map. So I did that because it was not in my area. It was in Mississippi. And so I looked at the geologic map and I said, there is no limestone here. There is no quartz for miles. There is just plain old silt and mudstone that has nothing to do with your spirits or ghosts. Not that even the stone tape theory has any value to it, in my opinion, at all. We just can't find a way to take emotional energy and transmit it into a rock for storage. It can't happen. And then you have to release it, too, and play it back like a videotape. It's just completely implausible, but yet it's still invoked because it sounds sciencey. Very few people actually do check the geology. It's easy for them to say, oh, there's limestone underneath here. That's the cause of this haunting. If you go back to T.C. Lethbridge, long, long ago, it was his idea that there's this psychic impression that's made into the environment. Psychometry is the idea that there's a psychic impression made into the environment. It's a very, very old idea. I actually have a site called spookygeology.com where I sort of write about these things.
Yeah, that's exactly why I wanted to bring it up, because that's quite interesting. Being a professional geologist, you've got a genuine scientific perspective. What do you think about the Hess-Dahlin lights then? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really interested in earth lights and the idea of earth lights. And they're so unique. And I actually think that there's something interesting going on there. And there's different aspects of them. But the Hess-Dahlin lights was really interesting. And unfortunately, they're not as active as they used to be at the time when they were being studied. So if you go there now, you're not likely to see them. And the interpretation kind of doesn't suggest that there was anything going on there. But I still wonder about, maybe we're seeing some sort of reaction with the maybe a fault area where there's stress on the rocks and we're producing some sort of electromagnetic field, or there's some sort of charge that's being generated. I did quite a bit of work with regards to earthquake lights, which I find incredibly fascinating. And I also think that under very specific conditions, there may be something happening, but it's really, really hard to catch and study scientifically.
With Hestellan, I know that they've got video, they've got footage, they've got lots of witnesses. And one of their theories there is that there's a river running through the Hestellan Valley with rocks rich in zinc and iron on one side and rich in copper on the other, and that in conjunction with the sulfurous water, the river itself creates kind of like a giant battery.
Yeah.
Does that sound too scientifical, or is
no, I found that fascinating. Yeah, the idea that there was some sort of electrical charge being generated. First, you have to make the charge, which is weird. That's something that doesn't normally happen. We don't normally see that. We see a very weak electrical flow through the crust of the Earth that we can measure, but not something strong enough to produce that kind of a charge. And then it has to produce some sort of lights. What are those lights? How are they made? There was some idea that the lights were showing up on the tops of the mountains, which correlates well to the idea of a coronal discharge of electricity. I don't think it's all that implausible. I just don't think we found out exactly the mechanism. And the same goes true for the earthquake light.
I'm going to ask you also about so-called window areas. I want to tell our listeners, we don't always book the guest in time to give you advance word, but this might be one of your fellow travelers, Sharon, Dr. Paul Kingsbury. He did a study on paranormal investigators.
Yep.
Not a book, a study. And we'll have him on next week to talk about
Wonderful.
It. That's Paul Kingsbury next week on the Paracast. We're certainly finding an interesting range of guests. Very much, you know, kind of out of our safe zone here, which is good. We like to be out of our comfort zone and pursue other things. One more announcement. Yes, the new Paracast website is going to go up shortly. As with all web development, it always takes much longer than you expect, but Randall and I have seen it. You've already seen the changes to the YouTube channel with new artwork. I'm going to ask more about window areas, which I mentioned, to Sharon Hill. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com. VercelMedia.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have things like the Mysterious Valley. We have places where supposedly people see more weird stuff than anywhere else in the world. Talk about Devil's Triangle, of course, the legends about Bermuda Triangle and such and things like that. Did you get a chance to explore anything like that, Sharon?
I'm interested in paranormal places, the places that do seem to have this reputation of high strangeness events and things that go on there that you can go there and you're more likely to have the experience. There might be some merit to that. I know, let's take Gettysburg as an example. I'm very familiar with the Gettysburg battlefield, and it's sort of considered the mecca for ghost hunters. They love to go there because so much trauma happened there, and it's very emotional, and just a concentrated amount of death happened. And if you go to Gettysburg, the geology of the location is odd, and it lent itself to the way the battle was played out, but it also lends itself to the way that you perceive the space. There's these valleys, and you feel sometimes you're standing on a high place, but yet you could see where you could feel you're in a valley, and you feel a bit trapped. The way that the geology works and the topography, it creates this eerie mist sometimes in the summer evening, and there's just a feeling of place there, this very strong sense of place. And then, of course, there are the legends and the stories that lend itself even more to that feeling. And then you feel anticipation for having those types of experiences. So I think it's like it feeds into itself. If you expect something to happen because people have told you it will, plus the environment is kind of spooky and a bit unnerving, I think that that lends itself to those places having that reputation.
Continuing on the spooky geology theme then, when we were talking about, well, there could be something to do with these earth lights and earthquake lights, and that there could be a certain kind of an EM buildup, have you heard of the work of Michael Persinger?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
I don't think the science was very good. The ideas were highly interesting. He was a neuroscientist, so he was mainly interested in how these fields might affect the brain, and for sure they do. Unfortunately, I don't know if you can translate the results from the laboratory out into the real world, which is far more complicated. And the fields aren't necessarily as strong as what you can generate in the lab to have this sense of presence or this feeling that you're out of your body or something weird is happening. The tectonic strain theory I'm familiar with, it didn't really pan out. That was many years ago where he proposed that, and nothing really happened to it. However, that doesn't mean that in seismically active areas, things aren't really weird sometimes. There are documented emissions of radon gas in places, or, you know, funny smells and strange booming noises in places where they don't measure earthquakes, but you hear these big booms constantly. It's because the earthquakes are so shallow, they don't shake the ground. The energy comes up and makes this sound. So you have places like Moody's, Connecticut, where there's Moody's noises, and the natives thought that that place was haunted by bad spirits because of all these bad noises all the time. So I think that that plays into it sometimes. In cases, I think the geology may have an effect.
How about boo parts, out of place artifacts, you know, where someone says they found a, you know, like a platinum fastener in a coal mine that's millions of years old?
I'm very familiar with this because people have brought me things that supposedly are alien bones or meteorites, and they're not. They're not those things. I have seen many stories that come out in the tabloids where there are things buried in rock that look like machinery buried in rock. Well, you know what? Sometimes drill bits break off into the rock, and it looks like it's been embedded there, but it's really that it was very natural happening. It's normal that happens sometimes. And the funniest things are, well, concretions, iron concretions are very often called uparts, the Klerksdorf spears, things like that, because they're weird looking and they look like they were man-made, but that was just nature forming this spherical shape in the rock, and you come across them and they look bizarre. And the idea of frogs being stuck in rocks, I find fascinating. I think that that's amazing. It's very Freudian idea of the toad in the stone. I don't know how reliable those stories were. Maybe there's a grain of truth to it. Maybe it was a mud ball. People thought it was a rock. People tend to judge the age of things mistakenly. On my spooky geology site, I have the story about the London Hammer, where people actually found a hammer embedded in rock. Well, what happened was that the limonite concretion that formed around the hammer happened in just, you know, a couple decades. It didn't take very long for that stuff to settle and harden up into rock. And there you have something that looks like it's embedded in rock. So I think there's a couple interesting explanations for this, and you kind of have to dig into it to literally dig into it to try to find out what those are.
Right. Yes, exactly. Speaking of spheres, how about the stone spheres in Costa Rica? Are we talking concretions again or some combination of, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure I know exactly what you mean, but often these concretions can get extremely large.
Right. There's about 300 of them, the largest about 16 tons. Some of them are 8 feet in diameter, and they're very spherical in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Often they begin as igneous or sedimentary rock,
right.
Sometimes as a concretion, like you were saying, from what I could tell, and then refined in shape by people using hand tools.
They're giving it a little help, huh?
And so that's all I was able to find out about them, but I was wondering if you might have known a little more.
Concretions are kind of weird. We don't really learn about them in normal course of study, other than here they are, they're made of iron, they're very heavy, they end up being spherical or sort of strange shapes, and people mistake them for something that they're not. I have a great iron concretion that looks like an alien head. It's marvelous.
Perfect. How about what they call the cart tracks in I think it's some island over in the Mediterranean where there's these grooves in the stone that go down into the water, and they're perfectly parallel, and people aren't sure, you know, they say, well, they must have been made by some ancient civilization as a road that, and so on. What sort of geological explanation might there be for that?
I'm not as familiar with those. There are so many geologic features that are kind of been given mysterious origins. It could be that there's a good explanation for those. I think that people enjoy the idea of putting their own stories to them. I mean, we've always done it. We've given names to things that sort of resemble some feature, and we attach a legend to that, a geologic feature. We attach an interesting legend to that because that's the way we want to relate to the world. So, Yeah, people do that. They like to think that the devil cleaved this rock in half, or this area was cursed and the witch left her mark. Or there's great stories about every place that has like a devil name to it. And I think it's just natural for us to try to relate to our environment like that.
Not too long ago, I seem to recall an article going around on the internet about a pyramid that was discovered in Antarctica. Had you run across that article?
Again, vaguely remember that. I go through an awful lot of news every day, but sometimes formations can sort of look like that. They look very odd from a certain angle. And when we tend to look for patterns, and we think that those patterns are man-made, and sometimes nature makes her own patterns.
Exactly. That's what it turned out to be, was a mountain peak that was sticking up out of the ice. It was very pyramid-like in shape. What other sort of geological formations can you think of that people might confuse with something paranormal?
One of the great examples are what's called hexagonal jointing. So there's this columnar jointing that's created when volcanic rock erupts into the crust and cools there, and cools rather slowly. So it forms these cracks, sort of like mud cracks, but in this big column of magma that's cooled underground. And then all the rock around it sort of is softer and it goes away. And then you have something remains like Devil's Tower. It looks amazing.
Right. Yeah, sure.
It just is incredible. This looks like the native legend is about a giant bear that scratched the sides with his claws as he was trying to get up the mountain to reach these children, and the gods raised the mountain and the bear couldn't get up. And so the bear claws are the grooves on the side. But really, we know what kind of rock, what kind of magma it was, and how it cooled and how it was formed that way. But it's still spectacular. I mean, it just looks like it was created by the gods. You also have other places like Giant's Causeway that are the same phenomenon.
We've got more phenomenon and more phenomena. And all sorts of things like that with Sharon A. Hill, Gene Steinberg without the middle name, as I mentioned before, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.